This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. One of the lead proponents of a local welcoming city ordinance wants to turn the public focus back on those it would impact the most, undocumented immigrants whose daily lives are filled with anxiety about being deported. Dante Lotson is president and CEO of YWCA McLean County, part of the Keeping Families Together Coalition. The YWCA and its partners have been lobbying Bloomington Normal to pass a welcoming city ordinance to restrict local police cooperation with federal immigration officials. The YWCA is turning up the pressure on Bloomington aldermen, specifically Karen Schmidt, who is seen as a potential swing vote critical to an ordinance actually passing. Schmidt is a longtime community servant who said she felt demoralized last week after being criticized for co-signing an email asking to pull the ordinance from the council's meeting. She says she wants a community-wide conversation on the subject, including Normal's town council. In an interview with GLT's Ryan Denham, Lotson doubles down on his criticism of Schmidt and says aldermen are sending mixed messages about whether they really want to keep talking about a welcoming city ordinance.
Dante, it's been a busy couple of weeks here related to the welcoming city ordinance. Five aldermen in Bloomington moved to pull it from the agenda of their meeting last week. Then the Keep Families Together Coalition obtained a bunch of emails between Bloomington Police and U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, showing a pretty close working relationship between the police and ICE. What do you make of what you've seen over the past two or three weeks here related to the welcoming city efforts?
I think it's unfortunate that the narrative has changed, and we're not talking about why we, or what actually brought us to the table to begin with, and that is the fears that our immigrant community, what they face. And to me, that is, I would have to say, the tragedy in all of this. Additionally, there was some very important information obtained through the FOIA process, and there's not been a word about that. Instead, we have decided to focus on the personal pain of council members.
And with the FOIA process, you're referring to the Freedom of Information Act. That's the law that that the Keep Families Together Coalition used to obtain these emails, which the organizations then subsequently released to the Pantograph and GLT, which is the basis for our reporting on it. Well, as of today, Dante, I want to ask you if you've are you more or less optimistic today that something will actually pass both councils and potentially the county board than you were a few weeks ago before all these things happened?
Now, from what I understand, the town of Normal has an interest, and that makes me feel a bit more hopeful about it. I'm not sure that the folks in Bloomington have demonstrated the political will to make the tough decisions. What I found it quite interesting that we wanted to punt the ball to Normal to see what their thoughts were. And at the time, there was this consensus that they had no interest in it. When we have sort of made decisions around the metro zone and other really important issues, that we just don't want to work together. But now it's important to work together on this issue. I just find that to be ironic and troublesome.
Why do you start with the Bloomington City Council? It's a notoriously fractured group, a lot of aldermen who maybe don't get along currently with the mayor. Why not start in Normal as a strategy?
I think if you're not interested in an ordinance, you will find a way or a reason not to do it. So if we started in Normal, then my thought is that there's a different reason for not doing it in Bloomington. Bloomington does not have an interest at this point. And for anyone who gets upset about that, the only thing I can do is just go off of actions, not what they say, but what they actually do. This was the reality, Ryan, is that this ordinance or the issue itself was handed off to the council 15 months ago. And at the conclusion of, I believe it was the meeting on the 12th, and it was one of the aldermen who said, well, hey, this doesn't mean that the door is closed. We want to have more discussion. Yet when you read the email that was sent to the interim city manager, Steve Rasmussen, there was no indication whatsoever that there was a need for additional conversation. There were reasons listed why they wanted the ordinance pulled. And if there wasn't pushback, the ordinance or just the discussion would have never, ever seen the day of light. And so I'm really proud of the people, particularly the young people who are pushing, and they are demanding the very best of our public officials, and we all should do that. I mean, isn't that what it's about? That's what I thought democracy meant. If you take a look at what's going on right now after the Florida tragedy, it's the students. I mean, they're laying it all on the line, and if anything changes, it's going to be because of democracy in action. And what I think about is, in Bloomington, we are in a ward system. If we're in a ward system, that means that you have to stand up for the people that you're representing. You take a look at Karen Schmidt's ward, you take a look at the numbers and the people who are impacted by a vote like this. From what I understand, Donald Trump lost by 28 points in that district. So I think they largely reject his policies. And for that door to be completely closed, I just have to wonder how sincere we when we say we're here representing people. And that's not a personal slam, because I've known Karen since I've been in this community. Karen's been nice. She's been decent. But it's not about how I personally feel about someone. That's how we have to be able to move beyond that. And the same can be said for Chief Brendan Heffner. His policies, the things that were found out, I'm obviously not in favor of that. But on a personal level, I like Brendan. But this has nothing to do with that. That is where we have to have the crucial conversations. And I've said many times over that what I love about this community is, in some ways, is the very thing that hurts us. And here's where I'm going with it. We are one of the most nicest and welcoming communities on surface. Everybody's really, really nice in terms of exchanging pleasantries and that kind of thing. But it reminds me of the adage, inherent in your strengths are your weaknesses, because that same niceness, it's also a recipe for disaster, because we refuse to have the critical and crucial conversations.
I think what you're pointing out is a pretty noticeable disconnect that a lot of those others have picked up on as well. This email that's sent, I think, on February 5th from five aldermen to the assistant city manager, copying the Pantograph reporter, Maria Nagel, who covers the city. So obviously something that those five aldermen want to go public. But also within that same, you know, week later at the February 12th meeting, they end the meeting with remarks that indicate, yeah, we want to keep talking about this in some way. How do you square those two things in your own mind? Which do you think it is?
I think what is written is how they really feel. What was said in public comment was a way to clean it up. And that's how I honestly feel about it. Again, these are people that I see. I will shake their hand. I'll give them a hug. I am not putting my personal feelings into it, but understand that it is extremely personal, because we're not talking about a pothole. We're literally talking about lives. And for us to not give any credence to that, there's incongruence with our stated values and our actions. If we say that we are a warm and welcoming community, then we better start doing it. Now, there was, I think it was Alderman Mboka, and I really do appreciate his thoughtfulness. I do. But they've been thinking for 15 months, Ryan. And what Alderman Mboka said is that they needed more time to study it, or they need to talk about it more, or what, I don't know, something to that effect. Well, I think that says a lot about privilege right there, because when it's not directly impacting your family, you can take as much time as you want. You can go as slowly as you want. But when families are being deported and people are running afraid, I have a serious, serious concern when I read the letter. And it says, I'm just going to read this. It says, misunderstandings about this ordinance have the potential to cause our immigrant community further harm. Many citizens now harbor animosity towards those who feel differently than they do, with the result that our community is being further divided at a time when all citizens should pull together. Come on. I mean, if we're going to be honest, let's have honest conversation about this. Having the discussion has not caused an even deeper divide. Failure to have the discussion is what's causing the divide, because people who feel a strong way, they felt that way. So my thought is, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, be honest, be real. You know, there are people, I'll say, I think Order Woman Painter has, she just said that she was against it. I get that. And you know what? While we disagree with one another, I appreciate the fact that she's being honest and real about it. But what I don't like to see is this sort of Jacob's face, where it's, you know, there's this public presence so that everybody likes you and you're warm and everybody appreciates that. But you know, what's happening behind the scenes? So, but one way or another, there'll be a reckoning, Ryan, because for people who don't represent the best interests of the people who they're sworn to represent, I think these young people today are just showing a great deal of fortitude. And I think when election season comes around, I think for members who refuse to stand up and make the tough decisions, I think they're going to have a very tough go at it.
This is GLT's Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. I'm here with Dante Latson, CEO and president of YWCA McLean County, one of the lead organizations that's pushing for a welcoming city ordinance in the Twin Cities. Dante, I want to take a step back for our listeners who may have only been following this issue in passing. I want to kind of catch them up a little bit. Your organization, YWCA, is part of this Keep Families Together coalition. It's been lobbying local elected bodies to pass a welcoming city ordinance. In brief, Dante, what specifically do you want to see in that ordinance so that our police, our community, is doing something different than it's doing right now? What do you want to see at the end of the day?
So we all want a safe community, right? And we don't want to restrict our law enforcement officers any more than they have to be, right? So if they need to communicate with ICE or any group for that matter, when it comes to, I think the chief talked about trafficking, human trafficking, and illegal drugs and so forth. I mean, you know, I don't think anybody that's a part of the alliance is against that. Nobody wants that. But when it comes to some of the information that we were told that Bloomington did not provide to ICE, and we find out through a FOIA that was untrue, that's a problem.
And you're referring here again to these emails.
Yes, saying that, hey, we have someone. Are you sure you're not interested in him? And then I think about ISU. I mean, again, going back to Brother Mboka, I mean, there are some great folks there. I mean, invite some of the people from the immigrant community. Talk to these students because, as I understand, unless I read it incorrectly, one of the people targeted, it was an ISU student. So, I mean, you think about that. What is this person doing for our community and the work that they're putting in and they're earning their degree, and we're talking about deporting them? I mean, there, you know, you can be wherever you want to be on this issue, but let's just be real and honest about it.
So last year, Illinois lawmakers passed the Trust Act, among other things. It says local police cannot comply with immigration detainers and warrants that are not issued by a judge. Local police can't stop, search, or arrest anyone based on that person's immigration or citizenship status. Dante, why not let that play out for even a full year, see how it changes things on the ground before pushing local ordinances in communities like Bloomington Normal?
From what I understand, the Trust Act simply does not go far enough. The reason why we don't want to just go along to get along is because this is not something that the people who are feeling this pressure came up with. They have no voice in this. And that resonates with me because, you know, as a person of color, I am often at tables where there's very little to no representation, yet we may be talking about people who look just like me. And we, with the best of intentions, we set forth to do a great job. Well, we fall short because we never have the people at the table. And so I'm not okay with going through another year of this while families continue to be splintered and disconnected, and leading to the trauma that comes along with it. I'm not okay with that. What I am okay with is coming together, being bold enough to say, yes, we understand that this is going to ruffle the feathers of some people. Some people may not like this, but if BPD is saying that they're not doing it, if they're not doing this, then why wouldn't we go in this direction? Why wouldn't we go in this direction? So we do what we need to do. Then let's come back to the table and say, how is this working? But for us to try to put some policy together or an ordinance together without including members of the community, in particular, the folks from the immigrant community who may not feel comfortable. I mean, we might have to be that vehicle that they get their message through, but you have to listen to us. You have to be willing to do it. So that's what I hope. I hope that our council members, which many, I mean, all of them, I mean, they're good human beings, you know. But I want to see them come back together. Let's not play games. Let's not hide behind a policy, or let's not hide behind an email. Let's have some real, honest, raw conversation. And I would say that if it's too hard for some, then they should self-select out. Just don't participate. And we, you know, we find another way and we get it done.
YWCA CEO Dante Lotson spoke with GLT's Ryan Denham.